Welcome back to the Starry-Eyed Mystic podcast. Today we're going to talk about the sister signs. And the sister signs are really important in astrology because they help us to understand each sign individually when we can pair them with their opposite sign and see the ways in which they share core principles and in ways that they reflect polar opposites, right? So the sister signs is something I've been really wanting to talk about for a while because it's really interesting. It's very beginner friendly to understand, but even the intermediate or advanced student of astrology can really benefit from reflecting on this often and how they share so much in common yet are so different. So let's get into it. First, I do want to say that if you were a regular listener of the monthly horoscopes, I am now changing the tides on that. I am now going to focus more on making more content on my grid on Instagram to bring you guys more horoscopes and on my Instagram stories and Twitter, posting more on there about regular updates about the transits. That way, I feel I'm informing you guys more in a time base, like this is happening now sort of sense, because, you know, it's Mercury retrograde in my third house, and the third house has to do about communication and podcasts. So, of course, I'm rethinking how this podcast is going to be structured. And you know what? I'm going with the flow. I'm not resisting it. So that being said, let's get into the sister signs. So starting off with the first sign, naturally, we have Aries, and its opposite sister sign is Libra, the seventh sign. Aries and Libra are probably one of the most obvious in how different they are because they are polar opposites, where Aries' phrase is literally, I am, and Libra's phrase is, we are. Aries is the sign of individuality. Libra is the sign of partnership. So here we're seeing how it takes two individuals to be in a partnership, is Libra's lesson. And for Aries' lesson, it is you cannot find yourself individually or care for yourself individually fully without partnership. So a lot of the times these placements find each other, Aries, Libra's placements find each other confusing but alluring. And that's true for a lot of the sister signs. There's a lot of attraction here. There's a lot of curiosity here, but there's also a lot of confusion at times of how different they navigate things. So where Aries' first gut instinct approach is, how am I going to make sure my needs are met here? And how are we going to make sure other people's needs are met all on an individual level? Libra is more open to the idea of, okay, let's compromise and let's create a group need to resolve. Or let's compromise a little bit of our individuality come together. And that can be very threatening to Aries energy, but Aries energy can really learn to find the beauty in that immersion of a relationship or another person to a certain extent. Libra energy now, on the other hand, their first instinct is, how are we going to resolve and preserve the relationship? So at times they can kind of neglect their core needs or what they want on an individual level. Sometimes that's out of outright dismissal of one's needs. And a lot of times it's pretty unconscious of forgetting that there are individual needs outside of what another person needs or is reflecting back to them. So it's really helpful for Libra energy to embody some of Aries' bluntness, honesty, and integrity to themselves, and then bring that to themselves by setting boundaries with those they love a bit more. And Aries can do well to learn from Libra, okay, maybe there is some times where you just kind of want to bite your tongue, process things a bit, see the other side, and find a way that the two can come together. So these are very opposite sister signs because, again, we're talking about literally an individualistic thing and an interdependent thing. And so, of course, there are healthy expressions of that unhealthy. Aries can go totally hyper independent. Libra can go hyper codependent. So the ideal of when these two signs together, whether it's in someone's natal chart, in their birth chart, or if it's in a relationship where Aries' placement is with dating or friends or family members with a Libra placement, hopefully these two can see each other where they're at. And Aries can see Libra not as lacking passion or lacking drive or lacking boundaries or clarity in their individuality. And where Libra doesn't look at Aries and go, you're being selfish, you're lacking consideration of others. It's about meeting each other halfway where they're at because they each have something the other is missing a bit. Now, at the end of the day, there is the core quality in the sister signs where they do share something. So Aries and Libra share the quality of individuality in a sense, because although Aries is very much, I'm an individualist, me, 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 Libra is like, I'm an individualist about us. Like we are in our own little bubble when we're together in our relationship, whether that's their romantic partner or then they're spending time with their friends. They feel that with their friends. It's sort of like, because I'm an individual, I'm going to choose this relationship and I'm going to really prioritize this relationship and use my individual power to power this relationship because I know that without relationships, my life is not as fulfilling. Whereas Aries might be thinking, I've given a lot to relationships. It hasn't led me to define myself clearer. I have to now define my individuality very strictly as an individual and think outside of relationship terms. So what's interesting a lot about this is with the sister signs too, is that, you know, Libra could grow up feeling more like Aries, individualistic, alone, going it alone. And then they find the value in partnership or collaboration, working with others. And Aries can grow up or have early experiences where they feel like they're too enmeshed in their parents' relationship or their relationship to their caregivers or their relationships to others. And they grow to find, oh, I was being a hopeless romantic. I need to have a backbone. I need to assert myself. So it's very interesting how these two come to similar energy, but their conclusions are very different. And the life expression and the life-giving principles that they are given are very opposite in that way, even though they share similar themes. So that would be about Aries Libra. I could go on and on forever because I am an Aries sun. I'm dating a Libra placement. I have a million Libra friends. So I really love the duality of these sister signs when it's done right. I've also dated and been friendship involved with Libra placements where it went awful. So it really depends on the individuals in a relationship sense, right? And I've met people who have Aries Libra in themselves, and it can be a lot of inner conflict if you don't learn to resolve both of these needs within yourself. So I do understand that. But let's move on to the next one, and let's talk about Taurus and Scorpio. So now we're going to talk about the second sign of the zodiac, Taurus, and the eighth sign of the zodiac, Scorpio, and their sister sign relationship. Taurus and Scorpio both are very much talking about how are we going to survive. If we talk about the Taurus expression, it's an earth sign, so it's very much, what are my assets? What are my resources? What is my security like? And that can sound like, oh, Taurus is just this materialistic sign. All they care about is their belongings and their money and whatever. It's usually not that simple. A lot of times, yes, it can express that way partially, but a big part of it is the feeling of feeling safe and secure through their sense of security. Scorpio shares that need for security, but they often find themselves in that realm of having to have it through partnership. So while Taurus is like, I need to learn how to be self-sufficient, Scorpio can often feel like, I want to build a partnership where we can share our sufficiency and we will be much more able to be sufficient and survive on a practical level if we are also emotionally supported. And that's why Scorpio gets this rep of being very intense about the people that they care about or they love or they're attracted to. Because to them, on a very unconscious, instinctual level, it's a matter of emotional survival. It's like, I'm not going to be able to take care of myself as well if I don't have the motivation to take care of another person as well on an emotional, deep soul level bond. Taurus is very much stubborn and seeking control and security in a similar way of Scorpio, but their unconscious level is, I need to make sure that things are taken care of on an objective, material, concrete level. That may sound boring to some, but it isn't. Taurus is a Venusian sign ruled by Venus. So Taurus is just as capable of loving and nurturing. It's just that it's going to come first and foremost about, is this practically meeting my values? Is my practical needs taken care of? Or do we share the same values on an emotional, moral principle level? And so a lot of times for Taurus, where they're different from Scorpio, is they're trying to determine a little bit of a more autonomy similar to the sense of the Aries Libra axis. Scorpio would not like to admit that to themselves a lot of time, the archetype of Scorpio. They would rather be seen as self-sufficient too. But their desire to merge can feel very much part of their core character in a way that Taurus is learning to get there. So Taurus can learn that they can lose a sense of control by merging with the Scorpio's energy in a way of like, let's really surrender to one another and meet each other where we're at on a soul level and really want to understand each other's deep psychological secrets and inner motivations so that we can support each other on a really deep subconscious level. That Taurus can learn from, because Taurus can be a little bit scared to even go there until they feel, look, practically, this makes sense long-term. Practically, this makes sense materialistically. So sometimes Scorpio can see Taurus as being a little bit too simplistic, and Taurus can see Scorpio as being too dramatic. And so if they can meet each other where they're at, to having Taurus dive a little deeper and Scorpio can like lighten things up a bit and see things on a more surface level at times, and how the surface level isn't necessarily a bad thing or a bad word, they can find each other and have a little bit more commonality. Because what they do share in common at a core principle is that they want to make sure that they have enough resources. They could have an early life where Taurus watches people be very codependent, or they have a really codependent relationship where they're totally merging with someone and it really shocks them awake. So then they have to learn self-sufficiency is the only safety net they have. Whereas Scorpio can grow up feeling, I have to do everything on my own, like Taurus. I have to do everything on my own. I have to be totally self-sufficient. It's exhausting. I really crave deep loyalty to share this experience and to share the struggles of life with another person and work as a team. So that is where they are sharing commonalities, but they're also very different, and where there's a lot of attraction and allure, but a lot of confusion between the two. So if you have these in your natal chart, it is about appeasing both sides of yourself. And if you have a relationship with someone and you have one of these placements, it's about having conversation and holding space to understand these different parts of one another. So next up, we have the sister signs of Gemini and Sagittarius, with Gemini being the third sign and its pair Sagittarius being the ninth sign. Now, out of all the sister signs, Gemini and Sagittarius arguably have the most in common. They both are really mutable signs that like to go with the flow, explore new ideas, explore new uncharted territory. But where they do differentiate a lot is that Gemini is an air sign. So they're very intellectual about this search and this exploration, while Sagittarius is very physical and literal and action oriented about their exploration. Now, Gemini, to give you an example, could be in a conversation with Sagittarius and they both are having a really heated, passionate conversation about traveling to the south of France, let's say. And Gemini is just talking about the culture and all of the things there and all of the places they'd like to see. And the next day, Sagittarius shows up with a plane ticket and saying, okay, let's go. Let's board the flight. And Gemini's like, what? We were just talking about it. That is a big difference in the two, to give you just obviously a really generalized example. Gemini likes to talk and explore and get curious about people and ideas, and they like to just satisfy that curiosity. It's almost enough for them to have the conversation with the intriguing stranger and getting to hear about their background and kind of leaving it at that, versus Sagittarius may meet an intriguing stranger, have a conversation, and then go, okay, I want to go and have an eventful week with this person, right? So Sagittarius wants to explore things very literally in their physical body and action. And they are very much the type to go out and explore to accumulate their ideas and beliefs and do it through lived experience. Whereas Gemini likes to just ponder and question and interrogate and think up of different things and conversate. So while Gemini is much more conversationalist, Sagittarius is a lot more, let's put it into action, to summarize. So that would be the main difference of the two, and where they could run into a little bit of frustration with one another, whether it's in a relationship dynamic or a person having these placements in their chart. Gemini just wants to think about it. Sagittarius wants to do it. Sagittarius may look at Gemini and go, come on, all we're doing is talking about it. We're not living it. We're not embodying it. Let's go do it. And Gemini might look at Sagittarius and be like, you have to sit and think before you do something, because I see this thing, this perspective, and this perspective, and this perspective, and this perspective. Gemini really, that's where they can get themselves anxious and overthink and then either just like shut down and isolate or whatever, because Gemini has so many ideas and perspectives that they could see how every decision could go very right and very wrong. It's almost like in their mind, they hear the opinion and perspective of every person they know very easily. They can just like feel it and mentally embody that. It's like that's their thing. So Sagittarius doesn't have that as much, where they can get frustrated because they're like, we don't know what's going to happen until we explore it and live it and live through that ideal and live through that experience. We won't know it until we live it. And Gemini is like, no, we could just think about it and we can see all the things that could go wrong, or, you know, all the things that could go right. And Sagittarius just doesn't believe it until they live it and they experience it themselves. So they're not just going to go off of the word alone, while Gemini will. So that's where they might have to compromise. Gemini is going to have to get out of their comfort zone sometimes, and Sagittarius might have to just be okay with having a longer conversation before taking action. But again, these compromises tend to be a little bit more natural to the two, I would say, of all the sister signs, because again, they both just like crave similar mental stimulation in the end of the day, that it's probably easy to persuade the other in most cases within oneself and within relationship dynamics. Of course, you know, it could be more challenging internally than externally, like I said, because it's such an intellectual pairing. But that's where their interest in one another lies, their attraction, their desire to explore with one another. But then where they're very different is the ways in which they do like to gather their data. Do they like to just be curious and ponder, or do they like to explore and take action, right? So that is the deal with the twins and the archer. So let's talk about the next pair of sister signs, the fourth sign, Cancer, and the 10th sign, Capricorn. Now, Cancer and Capricorn are known as the divine mother and the divine father archetypes. So as you can tell, these are very traditional signs. And when we talk about the archetypes of Cancer and Capricorn, so they do share a lot of that traditional duality between what society would consider feminine versus masculine. I'm going to expand beyond that as best as I can, though, because I think that's kind of a limiting, outdated, you know, perspective. And, you know, that's not how ancient societies viewed it. So I'm just going to put that out there. But Cancer is a water sign. Capricorn is an earth sign. So therefore, they're both seeking security. That is like what is the common denominator of both these signs, of the sister signs. But Cancer is looking for that security primarily emotionally through having emotional connections that provide that sense of security. So a community of chosen members of like to love and nurture, or their biological family, or both. Capricorn is looking for that sense of security through earth, practical, tangible things, which again, it's kind of similar when we talk about the Taurus Scorpio archetype in a way, but the difference is with Capricorn being that earth sign and paired with Cancer, it is like looking to guide the family typically, or guide the community and guide others through that sort of communal way. So if we think of Cancer wanting that emotional security, and Capricorn wanting that practical security through money or resources, or just like reliability is the key here. They just want reliability. Cancer knows life is not reliable. Cancer is ruled by the moon. The moon changes signs every 2.5 days, and emotions are always ever changing. And like the moon is changing throughout the month, Cancer is changing throughout the month. So Cancer is... They're honestly emotionally always changing in a way. And so they really do find that groundedness in Capricorn in an ideal situation, because there is some sort of stability there for them to rely on. Now, Capricorn, they are very much seeking that stability, that sometimes they, as an archetype, can neglect that emotional changeability. They're so focused on their tunnel vision of getting where they want to go, and how that's going to bring them security, that sometimes they can neglect the emotional process of attaining that thing, or attaining that goal, or attaining that stability and security in the process. So Capricorn can do well if they view Cancer's emotional ebbs and flows as a sign of emotional intelligence and not a sign of dysregulation or oversensitivity. And Cancer can do well by Capricorn if they can view their desire to find that external reliability as not like an oversimplistic way to view life, but as something that is necessary for survival, both emotionally and practically. So they can find that balance of being in touch with your emotions versus being in touch with the external reality of what just has to get done at the end of the day. The bills have to be paid at the end of the day in this world. Or if we think on an emotional level, there are just responsibilities that have to be attended to, and relationships and whatnot. So, and loyalties that have to be attended to. And Capricorn knows all about that. Cancer is going to learn a lot from the Capricorn archetype in that way. And Capricorn is going to learn from Cancer a lot in the sense of emotional, being in touch with their emotions a bit more. And Cancer can grow up like Capricorn in the way where things are too rigid, too structured, too disciplined, or too black and white and too focused on the external world. And then they go, this didn't work. I need a sense of love and compassion and community and shared emotional experience. Whereas Capricorn can grow up in a sort of a Cancer way where there's too much emphasis on emotions, codependency. There's too much changeability. There's not enough rigidity or structure, something to rely on. So then they go the other direction. So they can probably relate to one another in that way. So now we move on to the fifth sign, Leo, and the 11th sign, Aquarius, for our next sister sign pair. Leo is the performer. It says, I perform. I am the star of the show. I am the main character of the movie. Aquarius says, I innovate. So Aquarius is the trendsetter. Aquarius is the one who creates the content and the material for Leo to perform behind the scenes, essentially. This is a really good way to see the sister signs. If Leo is the main actor, Aquarius is the one who wrote the script behind the scenes, the script writer. Okay, because Aquarius likes to play with ideas as an air sign. It likes to innovate. Like I said, it innovates, it creates, it plays with ideas. And then as the fixed sign quality, it creates a solid ideology. It creates a solid piece of work from these ideas. It creates something solid and firm and immovable with its fixed quality. Now, Leo's a fixed sign as well, but it's fixed fire. It is fixed in its actions. It is fixed in its identity as a fire sign. So Leo is very much, I know who I am. I am going to be loud about it. I'm going to make that clear. Aquarius is loud, not so much about its individuality as much as it's what Aquarius thinks. Aquarius knows what they think. They will say their ideology and that air sign quality, what they're thinking. And they'll say it with very much conviction, the way that Leo will say, I know who I am, and perform who they are, perform their emotions without second guessing or thinking much about it as an archetype. So where they're going to get along with one another, they both are very sure of what they think and who they are, right? There is like this identity that we all know in Leo that Aquarius has as well. Aquarius is very sure of who they are on that intellectual level. Even if Leo's is more just as their personality as a whole, they share that commonality of that firm belief that I know who I am. I know what I believe. I can follow this code of individuality pretty closely. And while Aquarius might see that more on a societal sense and Leo might see it on an individualist sense, they come together and they see these things and they find that commonality. Now, obviously, where they're a bit different is that Aquarius might at times find Leo to be too out there with their individuality, while Aquarius would rather share their intellectual ideas or just kind of sit back and let you come to them and talk to them and get to know what's on their mind. Leo's a little bit more out there with that fire quality that Aquarius might be like, oh, that they didn't think that through. They're not being smart about it. They're not being intellectual about it. But Leo could look at Aquarius and go, they think too much. They allow themselves to get stuck in ideologies and brainstorms, and they don't just live their truth at times and just embody it in their actions day to day without overthinking it. So that's where they can kind of judge one another or be confused by one another at times as archetypes. Leo wants to just feel free to be who they are. Aquarius wants an explanation for who they are. And that's where they can clash heads, is Leo just wants to intuitively be the fire. Aquarius wants to write a firm essay or journal entry or have a good conversation about it. And then they'll feel much more confident to act on those things once they've mentally processed it first. So that's where they can clash a bit at times. But at the end of the day, that's where they both are very similar. They're similar in more ways than they're different than they'd care to admit. With these signs, these are the signs that probably when it comes to the sister signs, they would think, I'm nothing like them. I'm nothing like the archetype of Leo and Aquarius would think, or not Leo would think, I'm nothing like the archetype of Aquarius. But this is their blind spots. They're actually more alike than they would think. And, you know, a lot of times the reasoning for the sister sign duality is that they experience one another's experiences in a rough way early on, and so they decide different for themselves to grow differently. So for example, Leo can grow up, the archetype of Leo can grow up or experience very Aquarius-like things, like being shut down, feeling like they need to really have a solid rational argument for their feelings or what they want to be or who they are. And so they kind of can rebel against that and just be like, you know what, I'm loud and I'm proudly myself and I'm going to live my life like that, even if I don't have the best explanation for it or it doesn't make sense to people. Now, Aquarius could have the opposite, that they found themselves at one point in time living Leo-like, where they were emotionally obsessed with like romance and love and the arts and expressing themselves and performing their emotions openly, but maybe they took it to an extreme or it wasn't accepted well. And so they decided, you know what, I'm better off thinking before I act. I'm better off, you know, really creating a solid explanation for my desire so I don't end up like putting rose-colored glasses on and missing the point. So that's where they could share similar experiences and not even really realize it. Last but not least, we have the 6th sign of Virgo and the 12th sign of Pisces, making our final sister sign combination today. So Virgo is a earth sign, while Pisces is a water sign, both mutable, meaning changeable. Now, Virgo and Pisces obviously will relate to one another by this ability to go with the ebbs and flows of life and understand one another for that way that their lives, by the universe's will, are, whether for better or worse, just in constant flux and flow and change. So they'll come to understand each other in that way because they both live lifestyles that are similar due to the will of life. And Virgo is, though, an earth sign. So again, they're going to be a little bit more practical. Both signs want to be of service. That's another thing they share in common. Virgo wants to be of service to those around them. It is the sign of the Virgin. So there's this element of like a moral purity to the sign. While Pisces is just wants to dissolve all the boundaries here on Earth and have everyone just get along on an archetypal level. And that's the way they want to be of service. They just want to bring people back to their emotions and their heart into the spiritual truth beyond this realm, whether that's literally through spiritual teachings, religious teachings, or just a core energy of compassion, sensitivity, being artistic, what will you? Something that transcends physical reality and brings you into the feeling. So Virgo wants to be of service, like I said, but it's very much through earthly things. This is a routine that someone needs to be successful. This is the food they need to eat to nurture their body. This is the habits they need to build in order to do so. Let me create a consistent plan on how to be of service to those around me. And let me create a resource to build that, to help my community, to help my family, to help my friends. Where Pisces is like, I can help by bringing you emotional support. I can show you the truth beyond the truth you think you see. I can give you something deeper to think about. I can reconnect you to the emotional cause of why you started in the first place. I can bring you spiritual peace while you're dealing with your suffering. So that's where they'll really get along, is they both want to see the world be a better place as archetypes. Where they clash is that they're doing it in two polar opposite ways. And so Virgo at times can see Pisces as talking a lot of talk, but not doing something physical to back it up. And Pisces can see Virgo and really be like, I hear you. I see you taking the action. But what about the emotion? Where's your emotion behind it? Where's your emotional support behind this? What is the point if I feel critiqued in the process or others feel critiqued in the process by your idea of perfection? So that's where they can kind of clash at times, not see eye to eye, maybe have critiques that the other is not embodying the quote unquote true way to help people or help each other or what have you. Whether that's in a relationship between two people with these placements or someone in their chart, they have these two placements and you know, they're at odds with one another. Regardless, that this is the clash that these two archetypal energies can have with one another that they need to come together and find their commonality regardless. And what they have in common more than the other may realize or care to realize at times is that they often have shared life experience that is similar to the other. So at one point, Virgo may have lived like a dreamy Pisces and saw the utopia, but then life pushed them to develop responsibility really young or in circumstances that they really didn't need to take responsibility. So they really learned, I have to take care of this on a practical level. And Pisces may have lived like a Virgo being very practical and tangible and seeing a way to guide other people to practical resources and advice, but then others around them felt critiqued by that, or they didn't hear them. And so Pisces realized, you know, maybe there isn't so much I can do to help by being there consistently, but whether it's consistently through effort or just like in time and energy, maybe I need to just build my idea of utopia and my values and my feelings behind it. And I will be there to support by holding that vibration for this person if they come and talk to me. And I will try to tap them into that bigger spiritual truth so they can find that for themselves. So that is where they have more commonality than they think. Thank you for listening. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast episode on your streaming platform if you haven't. Respond to the Spotify Q&A. If you would like to send tips, feel free. That's a great way to support, as well as booking personal readings with me to show support, supporting on social media, sharing this content with friends and family. But I hope you have a beautiful day and much love.